Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing word. Here now is Lynn York with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Well, bear with me. I am Lynn York, and I was telling the 9 o'clock service, I'm a little tired this morning. Our family has wanted a dog, and I've been the one that has said no. And finally, during the pandemic, I caved, and we have a puppy. It's like having a baby again. And so through that, bless her little heart, she's doing better with the potty training, but she got spayed. I wanted her to have that surgery, and she did that on Friday, and bless her heart, she woke up at 2:30 in the morning and got sick. But Kenny thankfully helped in that process, but kind of got us all up at 2:30 in the morning. So, well, I'm glad that you are all here today. We are going to be continuing on the subject of the heart. And if you want to stand, we'll go ahead and say the vision. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. All right, I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for today, God. We thank you that you are faithful, Lord. We thank you for your presence. I pray, God, that you would just speak to our hearts today what you want us to know. I pray that you would make known the comfort and the cheer that is in you, and that you would just minister to us, O Holy Spirit, like only you can do. So we welcome you in this place, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, this morning, if you want to go ahead, if you've got your Bible, we are going to start off in the Psalms, and we're going to start off in Psalm 78, verses 5 through 8. And when I was preparing this message, this verse actually came to me later, and I was like, oh, good. Like, it just kind of jumped out. All the things that I was kind of touching base about, they were in this psalm. So I'm going to go ahead and read that, and it says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. So I'm going to kind of highlight some of these words here that are located in this passage. And the first one is a testimony. He established a testimony. And last week, Ryan had talked about, how many of you were here last week for his message? Okay. All right. A lot of you were. He kind of talked about that Megan, his wife, had encouraged him to write down the things that God has done. Because we as a people can be very forgetful. Not only can we be forgetful, we can also become very busy. And, you know, in our busyness, we can kind of lose track and not even be mindful of the things that God has done. And so a testimony, we probably all in this room have a testimony. But you know what? Testimonies usually are coupled with hardship. I mean, I think about some of the most impactful testimonies that I've heard, and some of these people I have never even met, but they have been coupled with hardship. So I want to encourage you, when you go through a hardship, that there's a testimony that comes out of the hardship, and that through that we have to endure that hardship. In that second part of that verse 5, it goes on to say, and appointed a law in Israel. And when I looked up that word law, it means literally in the Hebrew, the five books of the Bible. And at that time, that was the word of God. And when we talk about law today, I want you to not necessarily think about like the old covenant, but just even God's word in our lives. And again, it talks about that they should put their confidence in God. We can put our confidence in God and not forget his works. And that last part is we do not want to be a generation that did not prepare its heart. We want to be a people that prepares our own hearts. But I think about I've had, multiple people over for a Christmas dinner, and there's a lot of preparation. I can't just wing it and say, come on over and let me see if I can find whatever scraps I've got in the refrigerator. I have to prepare. There has to be planning that takes place, getting out the dishes, those kind of things. There has to be an intentional thinking to prepare. But do we prepare our own hearts? Sometimes those are the things that God says, protect your heart. Those things in the world that want to capture our attentions, but God wants us to prepare our hearts, to be intentional, to take time with our own hearts. And we do want to have a spirit that's faithful to God, faithful. Okay, and if you have your Bible, we are going to now turn to Psalm 119, verse 92. In this scripture, it says, if thy law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast revived me. So again, if thy law, your word, had not been my delight, that delight means enjoyment and pleasure. And we go through different times. I was thinking about a lady that I knew in college that had been walking with the Lord a long time. And we go through different seasons where God doesn't feel near to us. We can't rely on our feelings. We still have to be pursuing God and his word. God's word is living and active. We cannot forget that. We have to continue to pursue God and his word. And if you're struggling reading his word, pray and ask him to give him a heart for your word, a desire for his word, a pleasure in his word. And I believe that he will meet you in that prayer, because as a child, he wants you to know him. He wants you to know his word and to fall in love with it. So I really believe that. So I encourage you today with that. And as I was preparing this message, I just kept getting this picture of a scale. I don't know if you all in science class, I was trying to remember what science class it was. I couldn't remember if it was chemistry or some science class, and we got out the scales. Anybody remember using scales in school? Okay, I see a couple of people. Good. Well, we got out scales, and I remember putting a paper clip on it, and then we had to take salt and get that, to the equal measure so that scale would be right there. Well, I really believe that God wants us to make his word weighty in our lives. But we have to pose that question in our lives. What are we putting in our hearts and our lives that are weighty? Is it our job? Is it social media? Is it TV? What are these things that we are putting weight, that we're putting time in, that we are deeming important? Relationships. And like Ryan was saying last week, that's not all bad, but we just have to be careful of our heart that some of these things aren't going to be more weighty, because that verse goes on to say, if thy law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. And you know what? There's affliction today. We may not face physical affliction or persecution, but I really believe that there's a lot of affliction going on today in people's minds. I'm getting ahead of myself. I need to back up. I would have perished in my affliction. When I think of that word perish, I think die, and man, I'm telling you what, sometimes you think about, if you've ever been through some trials, you may think, this is not fun. I am not liking this. I'm not liking to go through this. I would have perished. And that perished actually means to wander away or lose oneself. That really hit me, to lose oneself. That's another reason that I really believe that God's word is so important in our lives, because it tells us who our identity is in Christ. If we belong in Christ, we have a totally new identity. And what we have old patterns in our lives where we want to try to find our own identity. And what Satan wants us to do is he wants us to lose our identity. He doesn't want us to know that we're a child of God and all the benefits that we have of being a child of God. He wants us to be ignorant or to forget it. You know, but God in his word, that's how we know. Just even lately, I really feel like this is even for the body here at Russell Road. The last couple times Pastor Fred and Ryan have preached, I just keep seeing this mirror. Like, God wants us to have a handheld mirror of who we are, but it's found in his word. You know, I think it says in Corinthians, you know, we don't want to be, is that the Corinthians? Anyway, a man that looks in the mirror and then forget what we look like. But God deems his word as like a mirror. You know, this is constantly telling us who we are in Jesus. And there is firm foundation in that. There is firm confidence that you're a daughter and a son of the Most High God. There is no other confidence like that confidence. So again, I would have perished in my affliction. That word affliction, when I looked it up in the Hebrew, actually means depression and misery. And right now, I feel like there's a lot of false things going around. You know, a lot of people appear maybe one way, but I believe there's a lot of mental affliction going on right now in America. A lot of depression going on, and people may be masking it. They may not be masking it, but I believe that that is going on. And I want to share some testimonies. That's why I kind of talked from Psalm 78. I'm going to share some testimonies because testimonies are encouragement, you know, encouragement. So I encourage you. You have an opportunity to share your testimony. Share it, because that increases faith and it gives God glory. So here's a testimony from me of my own personal experience going through affliction. Some of you have heard some of my testimonies that I've given up here before, that I grew in my faith in college. And at that point, I was surrounded by people who love the Lord. I was surrounded by encouragement. And then I kind of had a shaking. College graduation came and I wanted to stay in Columbus, Ohio. I did not want, you know, my plan wasn't to come back here to this area, but God had different plans. At that time, there were no job openings, so I came back home. I lived home with my mom and dad, and thankfully a job did come about. And but at that time, too, you know, I didn't have that established body. So I was seeking out, you know, a body, and I found one through a big church, and that's actually how I initially met Pastor Fred years ago. The year was 2000, so I'm dating myself now of how long ago that was, but that was a blessing at that time. But through that time, I also took a new job. Well, my job was working primarily with children and some adults who had disabilities. And my background, what I had my training in, was more of hospital settings. And so this is all new territory. Like, I had one pediatric class in college. And man, I felt inadequate. I was like, these people hired me and they think they know what I'm doing. I do not know what I'm doing. And so I had all these expectations on myself. Like, I should be here and I'm here, you know. And again, and through that midst, I was trying to find my identity in what I knew. And, you know, so there was that kind of spiral. I was facing those inadequacies. You know, then since I had a job, I moved out and I was living by myself. That was the first time I had ever lived totally by myself. And I remember praying and being like, Lord, you will have to protect me, because I will never get any sleep. You know, if I am to get sleep, I need you to protect me. And he did. He's been faithful. He's protected me. But all of that said, you know, going through a different time of almost even kind of a loneliness. And then there was someone at work that had pursued me, and he, you know, started dating me. And then all of a sudden, he kind of fell off of the wayside. And those places that I was trying to find identity weren't there. So I was starting to go down this spiral, and I distinctively remember being at my kitchen sink, hearing this snake of a voice saying, you can't even wash dishes right. And I say that because it just grips me, because that is such the evil one. He will kick you when you're down. He wants you to believe lies about yourself, and he wants you to go nowhere. He doesn't want you to be effective for the kingdom. He wants you to stay down and push down. That's what he wants to do. And I tell you what, and I went through months of a deep darkness. And I wasn't having a good day. It was a deep darkness. And through that time, thanks be to God, you know, in time I did come out of that. I mean, I met with a counselor. I was on medication for a while. And I remember thinking, I don't want to wish this on my worst enemy. Like, this is deep darkness. And times that I was like, I can't even hardly pull myself out of bed. But I was good at wearing a mask. You know, like, I went to work. People didn't know what I was going through. I kept all of that inside. But there were things, as God delivered me from that, that he had taught me through that process. One was not to compare ourselves. I went through a Bible study at that time, entitled A Heart Like His. And in that section, Beth Moore led that study, and she talked about from scripture, it was the people cheering that Saul has killed thousands and David tens of thousands. And Saul was hearing that and being like, what? The people are recognizing David, you know? And then this evil spirit came upon him. So I caution us, we can be confident in God and the steps that we're taking, and it may not look, we may not be getting all the praise and accolations, and that's okay. I mean, a lot of this walk is not going to be praise and accolations, and that's part of the process. So that was one of the first things that he taught me. The second was, and I had a good friend that I'm still friends with today, and she would pray for me. I would call her on the phone, and I'd have no words, and I'd be like, you have to pray for me, and she would pray for me. I'm thankful. Sorry, you're getting emotions. I feel like the older I get, the more emotional I get. But the second thing again was God's word. So by grace, every morning, I memorized this scripture from Isaiah 61:10, and I got on my knees. I didn't feel like it. I had to drag myself out of bed, get on my knees, and Isaiah 61:10 says, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he's clothed me with garments of salvation and wrapped me in a robe of righteousness. And again, there was such thing, because it's like, even as I look back, I wasn't intentional in thinking that I don't feel like it. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. I will choose to do this. I didn't feel it, but I believe in my heart of hearts, God's word was starting to work. I was implanting that word that was saving my soul, and I was saying that every morning, I will rejoice. You know, that's the evil one doesn't want us to use our sword. He wants it to stay in the corner in its sheath, collecting dust. And that's where in Hebrews it said the word did not profit them because it was not united in faith. You know, grab God's word and unite it with faith and watch out. It may take a while. It may take a long while, but continue to persevere in God's word. His word stands, and it stands forever. And through that, and then the last point through that period of time was, you know, and I think that's good for all of us. You know, basically, I was trying to rely on pride. I was trying to rely on knowledge, you know, that I had knowledge to help people to know what to do. Well, yes, there is knowledge in the world, but sometimes we need wisdom. And ultimately, we need God's love. And he just revealed that one morning as I was getting ready, and I was going to serve this individual who would be at times violent. And I was like, I don't really know what to do. And I was like, Lord, just help me to love him today. That was one of the best sessions I ever had with him. You know, it all comes down to love. You know, that's what it comes down to, is love. All right, now we're going to switch gears somewhat, and if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn to 2 Thessalonians 1, and we are going to start there in verse 3 through 5, and it says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. So, and I don't know the full background, you know, of the Thessalonian church, but Paul right there is talking about these people are going through perseverance and faith in the midst of all their persecutions. And kind of like what Ryan talked about last week before we did communion, you know, we in America really don't know true persecution. You know, there may be slight persecutions that we go through, but not true physical persecutions. But there, you know, but afflictions is also in there, which I do believe that there are afflictions going on. But he's saying that we are speaking proudly of you for your perseverance and faith. And I want to talk about faith real quick, because when I was preparing this message, I kept seeing like a train track. Like, we are on the train track of faith. And I tell you what, we need faith when we're going through hardship. We need faith to keep seeing, even though we don't see physical things happening, faith is what keeps us on that train track. And what does Satan want us to do? He wants us to get off the train track, and he wants us to be derailed. If we're derailed, we're not effective in the body of Christ. We're not effective in the body, nor are we even effective in the world for bringing people into the kingdom. So he definitely wants to derail. And I actually, it's sad to think about, and I didn't think about this before, I have seen people be derailed. We don't want to be derailed. We want to keep on the train track of faith. But they also had perseverance. And that word perseverance there is steadfastness, patience, which means cheerful endurance. That one stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, oh my goodness. How many times have I gone through enduring things? Am I cheerful? To be honest, not many times. And especially if maybe those trials, you have some trials that are days, you have some trials that are weeks, months, you have some trials that are years. But it's important. We need that cheerful endurance. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more here before, while I go on. Which you endure. These are things that the Thessalonican church were enduring, which means to put up with, bear with, endure, forbear, and suffer. So we're going to stay in 2 Thessalonians, and next we are going to go to verse 16 and 17. And it says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. And I love this. This is that Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, it's from him we get eternal comfort. But I don't want to skip over that first one, who has loved us. May we never skim over that. You know, I think, you know, if you've been grown up in church, you've been singing Jesus Loves Me, sometimes I think we can just flippantly say that and not really understand the depths of God's love for us. God loves you. Every single person in this room, oh, he loves you. Take a moment. He loves you. He loves you. We need that in our hearts. And he has given us eternal comfort. I got all choked up and I've lost where I'm at. I'm at. But eternal comfort. And that's where I want to pose that question. Where do we get our comfort from? You know, I've been walking with the Lord for a while, and I'm like, I don't think I've ever really stopped and said to myself, Lord, where do I get my comfort from? You know, and actually I was just talking with somebody after the 9 o'clock service, you know, and it's like, even as a baby, you know, we comfort them with our physical touch, you know, we comfort them with a bottle, you know, and that's interesting because that comfort, we've got lots of temporary comforts in our world. You know, we've got food that can be our comfort food, you know, that we want to go to, you know, that makes us feel better. That's a temporary comfort. You know, maybe TV It may be the internet. It may be social media. It may be alcohol. It may be a substance. These things are temporary comforts. It's not, I love that word. God's very intentional. He said eternal comfort. God wants us to experience eternal comfort. Now, there's two things that could stop that comfort in our lives. One is pride. I think, God, I need my comfort in this way. We could be prideful and not even willing to have an open heart to receive his comfort. And we want an open heart. We want to have that prepared heart that we talked about earlier. We want to have a prepared heart for his comfort. And the other one may be unbelief. God, I don't believe that you can comfort me. This thing over here, I can feel it and I'm comforted. But have you really, truly cried out for the comfort of God? I challenge you today. Ask God for his comfort. You know, so I had to stop and think a little bit. I'm like, okay, Lord, there have been times that you have comforted me in my life. And, you know, he brought things to my mind where I didn't ask for it. In his kindness, he brought me comfort. One of those things were, and really, as we come to Christmas, and as a woman who was single for later on, Christmas can be a lonely time. You know, you see Christmas as, you know, happy, you know, and it is a happy time. But the reality is Christmas can be very lonely for people. And I'm talking lonely for all ages. You know, I think about people who are widowed. It can be a very lonely time. As a woman who remains single into her 30s, Christmas could be a very lonely time. And beyond even Christmas, you know, there's just times that I experience loneliness. And I remember reading in the Word and just knowing that time that Jesus went through the temptation in the wilderness. And when he was done, angels ministered to him. And there was a time that I remember I was lonely at night and I was like, God, I just need you to minister to me. And he did. He did. So it's like crying out to him. Are we going to cry out? Or are we going to seek our temporary comfort? You know, I look back and that was eternal comfort because it came from him. It was the real deal. Another time was, and that was in preparation of Christmas. And I never felt this way from my immediate family. You know, I'm thankful. I look back. I was raised in a wonderful family. But those were things that I had put on myself for my extended family. You know, going to these things, you know, early on, people had their boyfriends and girlfriends. Then they got married and they had their kids. You know, and here I came, I felt like I was kind of like odd, you know, and then even kind of thinking, well, what are they thinking about me? You know, those mental things that we can kind of go through. And the Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks and was like, if they have a problem with it, they can take it up with me. That raised my chin up high. I was like, that's right. You know, like I am a child of the King and I'm walking the best that I can in his will. And right now you've ordained me to be single. And if they have a problem with it, that's his plan. They can take it up with me. And I tell you what, as I was preparing that message, that was eternal comfort. Instantly. Filled. I mean, I can't even tell you. That just filled me. And that's what God does. In his presence, there is a complete filling. It's not temporary. Even though some of those temporary things make you feel like even crud afterwards. No. This is eternal comfort. It is the real deal. And God provides that comfort. Another example that I wanted to share is in death. And I believe in death we need comfort. You know, we see that. We've all experienced that in our lives.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.